Hello? When is this thing gonna start?
Alex, how are you doing this evening?
Fantastic.
Today is September 11th, 2018. So I thought we'd kick off our podcast with a bit of a somber note.
It was, in my lifetime, the most chilling negative event that I ever lived through. How about you?
Being a native New Yorker, and at least New York State person, I'd been to the top of the World
Trade
Center.
So have I.
So I stood up there and
I think 9/11 will always, this time of year, we have to be grateful for the great sacrifice that those firemen did running into the fire, and that they continuously do, and all the ones, all the police and all the brave men and women that have served our nation. So really, hats off to them, and much love and respect.
I salute you. All right, so now we have positive things to talk about.
The victory.
Yes.
The victory.
Our Dolphins.
A long victory.
Yes. From start to finish, the longest game in NFL history.
Well, let's get it over with. That's going to be my Dolphin fact. Because
I think everyone knows that one at this point.
Well, that was the longest game in history. And as we know, it went for, let me see here. What was it exactly? 7 hours and 8 minutes. Is that correct?
I don't have the number in front of me. You're the stats guy. Come on.
Yeah, I sure am. But, yeah, I believe that is correct. And the longest football game in history, as we know, time-wise, was the one that we played against Kansas City way back in the day.
Right.
So we talked about that game. It's exciting. So now we have the longest game time-wise and, you know, actual playing time. So that's exciting. So Miami's back in the record books. And in a positive way, we won both games.
That's true.
Super exciting.
I got to say that I had a significant lack of excitement during the day. Not that we didn't have exciting moments. And, you know, if you stitch everything together, the game was probably pretty exciting too. Probably was, mm-hmm. You know. I mean, a win is a win is a win, right?
Yeah, 7 hours and 8 minutes. I got the official.
Yeah. For not having watched football, you know, real football, live football for, you know, since the end of last year, I watched an awful lot of football on Sunday. And the Dolphins was kind of sprinkled through the entire day. Got a lot of the Giants-Jaguars game. And got a lot of that incredibly boring, pointless Cowboys game. I don't know. You have a habit of flipping around, and I have this habit of just being frozen. I don't want to even change the channel in case the game comes back.
Yeah, I'd like to see. But I also have that split screen, and I get to see, like, you know, I put up there like 3 or 4 games at a time, and it's fun. I enjoy it. Also, it's good for our fantasy. Hey, congratulations. You snuck one by me on the fantasy.
I snuck one by you.
That's not good. But,
yeah.
But you know,
yep.
So, a couple of interesting notes. Scott decided to play Kelce over Gesicki.
Yeah, I sure did.
And Gesicki outscored him.
And Gesicki got one more point.
There you go. You had no faith.
Yeah.
But you did play Drake. And we got to talk about that shortly. I think today we're going to be covering what I believe is, you know, what this game, obviously an overview of the game, of how the game went, but which Dolphin players are up and which Dolphin players are down.
Yeah, we can cover that.
And also a little overview of our upcoming game against the disgusting Jets.
Yes, the hated Jets are coming, more likely we're going into their territory.
We're going into their territory. Yeah.
I keep hearing about the MetLife takeover. I'm kind of doubting that's going to happen from the sense that it's happened in the recent past. The Jets fans seem to be really wired up about their new quarterback, and they certainly kicked the crap out of the Detroit Lions on Sunday.
Yeah, well, they played well.
So, yeah, I pulled out my mock card a little early. I don't remember whether I tweeted it as two old dolphins or whether I was just texting it to you guys. I think I just texted it to you guys. But right away, it popped up on my, you know, phone as an alert. Sam Darnold's first play, first pass from the line of scrimmage was a pick six. And I was like, yes, that's the Jets I know and love and love to see get their ass kicked. And then the rest of the game, I guess, was something else. I didn't watch it, but I certainly saw the highlights and became a little more worried about this coming matchup than I previously was based on what they did to the Lions. But let's save that for the latter half of our podcast and really focus on what we saw in the Titans game.
Well, let's start at the most important position in the field. We all agree, you and I have discussed it a million times, the quarterback.
Yep.
We have a quarterback that's 30 years old.
Mm-hmm.
That it looks the same. To me, Tannehill, nothing has changed. He's a middle-of-the-pack quarterback. And interesting statistics on him. And Armando wrote about this today, wrote about it a few weeks ago. Every time he's asked to throw the ball 30 times or more,
he has our record
is 21 and 33.
Mm-hmm.
When he throws 30 times or less, like he did on Sunday where he passed 28 times, we're 16 and 7.
You know, sometimes statistics like that are useless. I feel like people pull them out of their ass just to make interesting writing. And sometimes I think they're really applicable to coaching.
I think they're applicable to one fact. If you need Tannehill to carry you, you're good luck.
Right.
He's 37 and 40 as a starter. If you look at Tanny's total performance on Sunday, he had two horrendous passes. And, you know, your tight end there, Gesicki, which I love the kid, but I mean, he was targeted twice the entire game.
Yeah.
And Tannehill hits him on an 11-yard pass where Gesicki gets up and he showed that emotion and fire that we love to see in a football player.
Yep.
And I was like, there you go. And then he was matched up against this cornerback, the guy's half his size. We all knew the ball was going to go to him if we had half a brain. It did. And he underthrew him pathetically. And it was intercepted.
I heard a lot, read a lot, heard a lot, saw a lot. That's writing and comments and radio talk and all that sort of stuff. I've just been consuming it like a madman over the last day and a half. And I saw so many people trying to blame Gesicki for
No way.
Like, okay, there's two eyeball test things. Well, there's one thing I've become really good at over the years, and it's reading people. And that flows into just what I call the eyeball test when I'm watching football, right? I knew instantly that ball, just from the camera angles and whatever, that ball was way underthrown. Not just underthrown distance-wise, but height-wise as well. I knew when it left his hand, it had too low of a trajectory.
Come on, that ball had no chance to be anything else but intercepted. That pass should have two options, incomplete or touchdown. It should never be intercepted, especially with that guy on him. And number two is the guy blocked. He basically, talk about basketball, because Gesicki was a good volleyball player, could have been a great, he played good basketball too.
Mm-hmm.
I saw him dunk the ball a couple of times, really nice there on some of those highlights. But that kid blocked him out, and the pass was underthrown. It was pathetic. And that right there is where Tannehill loses me. That pass is something they should have been working on, which, of course, we never saw it in the preseason.
We never saw it in the preseason game. We have no idea what they do in practice. But literally, there is a play that's built for Gesicki. It's built for him. It's perfect for him. It is the play. It is the Aronde Gadsden corner shot that we used to run.
Yes.
That would be absolutely perfect for him. So I would, if I was Gase, if I was running this offense, I would practice it from the 20, from the 15, from the 10, and from the 5, and I would do it over and over and over until Tannehill did it in his sleep, where he could just chuck the ball up and have it drop down in the corner. The other thing is, and this is the decision-making thing, right? In no circumstance would I ever put up with him underthrowing that ball.
He's going to
get down and do 50 freaking push-ups if he underthrows it, right?
Because the decision-making
should be, if you're going to miss too long. missed too high.
Yeah, make it that you overthrew the pass and you just missed it. Gesicki got his hands on the ball and somehow couldn't bring it down. Mm-hmm. But the
his
possibility
feet came down out of bounds or out of the back of the end zone.
He stepped out of bounds. So you got to get your
timing
down.
All of those things I can live with. I can't live with that little midget Butler making us look bad again. You know,
the reason
I heard somebody say, "Oh, the Dolphin Killer Butler," and I'm like, "No, the Dolphin Killer is Tannehill.
Tannehill killed that drive."
All right, so I don't want to beat I want to beat on him over that play. I don't want to beat on him for the entire game because it's what we've always seen: good Tannehill, bad Tannehill, good Tannehill.
Well, the other
bad
interception,
Tannehill.
I don't know where he was throwing.
Yeah, you know, I had to read about that one because I literally my eyeball test told me that he was either throwing to a spot or somebody tipped it. I had to rewatch it to see that nobody, in fact, made contact with him.
I didn't see anything.
Or the ball was wet and it slipped out of his hand because Grant, with all of his speed, running with lots of green, you know, slanting out, doing an up and out, right? So, mm-hmm. you know, or at least slanting out towards the sideline, and the safety was well behind him. And not positioned correctly. He may have been able to stop Grant, but that would have been a 20-yard gain had he connected with him. So, plus.
Well, at the end, Tannehill, this is his numbers for the day, 20 out of 28, 8.2 average, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. He took 1 sack and quarterback rating of 89.990. So it's not a bad day.
No, and to give him props because he also deserved props. That pass to Stills was a beautiful thing. It dropped right down in full stride into the guy, you know, and Stills was pretty tightly covered.
Yes.
It was a great pass. It was like one of those things that since we had Mike Wallace, dreaming of seeing on a regular basis. So, when Tannehill's good, he's good, you know?
Well, you know, talking about
when
receivers.
When he's bad, he kills us.
Just talking about our receivers, who do you think was our most targeted receiver?
Grant.
Well, yeah, I guess you read that one, huh? Grant got 7 targets, Amendola got 6, and Kenny got 5. So, you know, I mean, there wasn't like a lot of targets. It was 28 passes, but.
Right. Wilson had a couple, and Gesicki had 2, and Drake had a few.
Gesicki got, they say here.
Although I wanted to see Drake get more.
Drake got targeted 4 times.
That may be a little selfish.
Yeah, because you got him in fantasy. But well, let's look at his rushing, okay? Now, our Miami's rushing, Gore got 61 yards. He was our leading rusher. He averaged 6.8 yards. Again, proving my point that Gore was a brilliant pickup and that he's a great addition to the team. And he's going to kill Drake's fantasy, but that's another story. But when you look at Gore really showed his toughness. He showed his tenacity. Just a great evening for Gore. Drake carried the ball 5 more times than Gore and averaged only 3.4 yards a carry.
Yeah.
Overall,
I still think Drake is the playmaker.
Of course he is.
Drake is the
starter.
Without
a doubt.
And that we have a really great 1-2 punch with Drake and Gore.
We have a great combination, and I
think we need to stick with that run. Be
which
consistent.
We tend to abandon it. We ran the ball 29 times.
You know, one of the
including 4 runs by Tannehill.
I had such a long, stressful work day today that I didn't get my notes put together. And now that we're talking about it, my brain is starting to click. One of the things I want to look up that I didn't get time is when we go 3 and out versus, you know, when we have a sustained drive,
mm-hmm.
run versus pass ratio. Because it really, I mean, at the moment, it really seems like to me, every time we go 3 and out, it's pass, pass, pass. We don't even run the ball.
Yeah, we tend to be a very pass happy team, but
Gase just gets into this pass mode. I hear through his press conferences and everything in his voice and the way when he talks about receivers, he's like in love with his receiving core, and that's all. You know, that's what he wants to do. He's a pass happy play caller, and we have a running game, and our running game To me, we should either strive to be perfectly balanced or run more than pass.
Well, let's look at...
Because when we started to kick their asses when they had to respect play action.
But look, here's the first drive of the game. Drake ran for 10 yards to the 32nd yard line from Miami.
Mm-hmm.
No huddle shotgun. We had a good penalty there. False start on Tunsil. Tannehill short pass to Amendola for 7 yards. Drake right tackle for 1 yard. Tannehill short pass to Amendola for 3 yards. Punt.
Right. So it wasn't a three and out.
It was not a three and out. But then our touchdown drive, we started off with an infraction. We then ran Drake. Then Tannehill's pass to Wilson. Tannehill, incomplete pass to Amendola. Tannehill, short pass again to Wilson for 6 yards. Tannehill, short pass to Drake for 4 yards. Tannehill, short pass to Grant. Frank Gore for 10 yards. No huddle. We went right back and then got a penalty on Butler.
Mm-hmm.
Unnecessary roughness. Frank Gore, again, ran for 7 yards. Wilson, I guess they handed off to Wilson. Then a shotgun pass again to Wilson. Frank Gore for 10 more yards. And Kenny Stills' touchdown pass. So, I mean, interesting. Well-balanced.
Yeah. It was a good drive.
It's a great drive. So, I mean, Miami overall, we had certain players. And what I saw from the game was our defense, I was a little bit concerned with our defense. And the reason I say that is we had no sacks.
Right.
And they passed the ball. Let me tell you.
They lost both their tackles. One prior to the game and one during the game.
Yes.
And we still.
No pressure.
Yeah.
Or very limited.
Limited pressure.
38 passes, no sacks. We gave up only one sack, which is good.
Yeah,
but only on 28 passes.
Our line blocked well, especially pass blocking.
And Tannehill was throwing the ball quickly.
Right.
It's
that get the ball out of your hands quickly mode that we're in.
Both teams kind of rushed the same. We both had 4 yards a carry.
Mm-hmm.
They only rushed the ball 29 times. And guess what? We only rushed it 29 times. They rushed it for 116. We rushed it for 120.
It's pretty much a match.
Pretty much, yeah, pretty much there. Passing the ball, they passed it for 220. We passed it for 222. And they passed it a bunch more times than us. At the end, it was a very even game. They lost their tight end. They lost their quarterback. They lost their list. And we, you know, got out of there with a 7-point victory. I predicted we were going to lose 20-16.
What did you think about that shot Branch laid on Taylor Lewan? Knocked him out on the interception.
I thought it was clean.
Yeah, I went back and watched it again, and I even watched highlights earlier this morning. Again, trying to get a feeling for what I would say about it today.
Yeah.
So, and it was a legal hit.
Legal hit.
You know? I know when I was a younger man, I was the type that loved the big hits in football. Now that I'm older, I do wince a little when I see, you know, it
well,
looks like
a guy's
getting
injury.
Well, like I mean, I don't even want to talk about Delanie
that
Walker.
That was terrible.
There's no circumstance where I'd ever root for a guy's foot pointing in the wrong direction.
No, that was really sad.
Yeah, I mean, I was like cringing and going, oh, and my daughter walked up and she goes, oh, what's wrong? And I was looking at the screen. She looked at the screen. She went, oh, and she went right into her bedroom.
Yeah, it was terrible.
Yeah.
It was terrible. It's ugly.
So but I feel terrible for Delanie Walker.
I think,
a good player.
Oh, yeah, that was terrible.
You know,
but on that hit, I thought that hit was clean. And
yeah.
So now, why don't we go into what the players that we saw that were up and players that we think are down. And I made my list. And the first guy that I say up is Fitzpatrick. What a game.
Agree.
What
the
a
rookie
game.
Saved a touchdown. I mean, of all the plays that he made, that was the best one.
And he read it. And he knew what they were going to do. Did you hear him talking after the game? He said exactly the play they were going to run. They were going to do a pick. And they knew that they were bunched up, all three of them. It was going to be that little pass out there with the pick. And he read it, and he stopped it. And that was against Davis, who's a big man.
You know who he reminds me of? The mental aspect approach to the game?
Ed Reed.
Zach Thomas. I'm thinking Dolphins.
Oh, yeah. Dolphins, yeah.
Nobody did more homework or watched more film or, you know, memorized what other teams do or, you know, based on knowing things about their coaches, knew what their coaches like mm-hmm. to call. I think we have that in Minka.
He's the real thing. And I was impressed with his stats. If you look at him for the game, he had 6 tackles, 3 solo tackles. I mean, he defended well. I mean, he just played a hell of a game. He played quick. He played intelligent. He saved a touchdown that, in essence, probably saved the game because they would have scored that touchdown. Who knows what would have happened.
Right. Yeah, there were 2 touchdowns that could have changed the entire course of the game. The other one, they actually scored the touchdown.
And I got to tell you, that call was a little...
It was questionable.
Questionable. And that was the run we're talking about, Henry. Mm-hmm. When Henry busted that run, hey, that's football. Things happen. I mean, they're going to go against us also. So, yeah.
So we agree on Minka. Who's next?
Minka's next. Jones.
Oh, my God. 2 interceptions? He was dominant.
Dominant, fast, smart.
There's a reason he's an all-pro.
He looked incredible. And I think one return was like, wasn't it like 50 yards that he returned that thing? I mean, he looked incredible. He looked smart. He was just a leader out there.
He wanted to score. He had that, you know, teeth out predator. I have the ball and now I want to score.
He had 80 yards in returns.
This old man jumps up and down and gets pretty excited when something like that happens.
I mean,
my whole neighborhood probably thinks I'm crazy.
He played great. And Kiko had a nice interception. We got to give him credit. I mean, he really did a good job on that. And
what I give credit for to Kiko on that is his awareness, right? Because that ball popped off the the lineman, and he reacted quickly enough to grab it. I mean, it was a gift, but not everyone would have made that catch.
Yep.
If they weren't totally aware of what was happening and had, you know, quick reaction time. So
he got tackled immediately, but okay.
Got to give that.
So those are my two guys. It's not Kiko, is Fitzpatrick and Jones.
Mm-hmm.
And now to the offensive side, I got 3 guys.
Okay.
And my first is my hometown hero, Gore. I loved his tenacity. I loved his presence. I think he really shows the value to the team right now.
You think he's trending up? You think he's going to do more?
No, what I'm saying up is that they're doing fantastic. That's what I meant by trending up. It's not like he's going to do more. It's just that both doing all these players are doing fantastic.
All right. Gore, I was trying to find a crack to argue with you so we could have some tension and some opposition, but
no,
I can't.
Gore is fantastic.
He totally met expectations. I mean, how could you ask for more from your number 2?
No, I mean, he's our leading rusher.
Yeah.
I mean, he just ran the ball great.
He runs so hard.
And next week against the Jets, he's gonna move up in the chart as all-time rushers. So I think he's got like 15 yards to go to move up. I think he's passing Martin. I mean, he's just...
Perfect person to pass in the perfect place.
It's great. It's going to be fantastic.
Ex-Jet.
So those are my 3. Then I have Grant. I mean, Grant, that kickoff return was electrifying. Electrifying.
Completely electrifying. Hit the speed that kid has. How he... Oh, it's still... This is the angry old man in me. After we saw him last preseason... And then we didn't see him the entire freaking year until the last 2, you know. He's a weapon. He's a guy you want to get the ball to.
Somehow Gase.
He's quick.
Gase's comment was that he couldn't figure out, you know,
what
how to
get
do him
with
the
him.
Ball. I don't know. But look at this kid. And I know he had 1 return that was great, but he returned 2 kickoffs, 125 yards, 62.5 average. Of course, most of that came in the 102-yard return.
Yeah, well.
But, I mean, that's a game changer. That's the game right there.
That's like your Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, yeah.
That guy would have had 30 yards rushing if he'd not broken that
that's
one.
That's why you play a full game.
Yeah.
So, Grant got 7 points and a touchdown. I mean, that made the difference in the game. The other one is Kenny Stills.
Yeah.
For all his shenanigans before, you know, that we don't even want to get into.
Right.
With the kneeling down stuff. You got to hand it to the kid. I wish he would just focus on football.
Me
and,
too. I and want to love going. Him. I mean, I want to cheer for him.
What a great athlete. He broke away. Tannehill threw a great pass on that 75-yarder.
Yeah.
Put it right in the bucket.
One of the best long passes I've ever seen him throw.
Yeah, he put it right in the bucket. I mean, it was
if you want to point to an improvement, I mean, when he was a rookie, I don't think we ever saw
something like that. Yeah, he didn't have any touch.
So he has improved.
Incredible. So those are my big keys as far as up players. Now, down players, you're going to be surprised with the first one.
Okay.
Drake.
He didn't have a big play, and he didn't pop one the way I was hoping and expecting him to.
I think he got a little bit more
opportunities.
He got 14 runs.
Yeah.
He averaged 3.4. That's pedestrian.
Mm-hmm.
That's not Drake. He was targeted in the passing game. He was targeted five times. I'm sorry. He was targeted four times for 18 yards.
Yeah.
I mean, you see him, and then you take a look at around the league, the receiving backs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Thompson over there in Washington, all these other guys, they were electrifying the New Orleans kids. I mean, that's unbelievable the way these guys are running.
Yeah, I have much higher expectation.
Me too. I think Drake played down. And I think I don't know whether it was he wasn't put in the right position. He seemed to have gotten ample opportunity. When you talk about a kid getting 17 touches and 18 total attempts, I mean, that's pretty good.
Yeah. I'd like to see him get 20 a game.
Another guy, moving on from me too, I think he should be consistently being 20.
Yep.
Another guy down is Gesicki. And I think...
That's coaching.
It's coaching. I'm sure it is. But we have a tight end that was drafted high. And you look at the kid in Seattle. You look at all these other teams. Those tight ends are stepping up. And they're making plays. And they're making a difference.
I haven't seen a single thing to blame this on Gesicki.
Well...
Because I don't see him.
Well, the up and down that I look at... And I think we should, you know, make it a season-long thing.
I don't want the down on Gesicki. I want it on Gase for that.
Well, we could do it on Gase, but I'll tell you what. The kid looks pedestrian. He doesn't look like a guy that we should have taken in the second round based on what he's producing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just terrible. The next one that I would say down, I would say our defensive line. I'm going to put that whole defensive line for having zero sacks, not pressuring, not playing up to par. Where was Quinn?
I was absolutely convinced that between Wake and Quinn.
Where were they?
We were going to have an amazing pass rush, at least from the wide nine, right?
Where were they?
This formation that features the defensive end, right? The 4-3 wide nine. Featuring the defensive end, counting on the defensive end to be your, you know, pass rushing strength and sealing the outside, and they weren't that. They didn't show up. Now, you know, I did read one thing that I didn't catch during the game that did piss me off about coaching again.
Mm-hmm.
Is that on the first play of the game, Quinn and Wake were on the field at the same time. And after that, because of rotation, they were never on the field at the same time for the rest of the game.
I could tell you one thing.
Don't you want those two on the field, especially during the most critical times?
With a team that's passing 38 times, yes.
Yeah.
So I would say my downs are not a lot.
Branch was in there. Harris was in there. You know, I don't have a problem with rotating the line, but you have to be smart about it, don't you?
Yeah. And I would tell you overall, our team performed relatively well. Tannehill, I was thinking of putting him down, but I just couldn't because, I mean, I think he was in the middle there. I mean, he threw the two touchdown passes, the two interceptions.
Yeah, overall, he had a good game, but he made some critical mistakes that he should not have made. I don't know about the second one.
Okay? I think he's going to
I don't know if it's on him or if it's on Grant for running the wrong route. I don't know what that one was.
Yeah. Well.
Okay. But I know the first one was on him. I knew it instantly when he released that ball.
We did the right things to win.
You know, I want to give Gase a compliment because it seems like I've been ripping him this whole time. I stood up and I saw the formation at the, on the goal line. That was one safety in the center of the field. You know, linebackers right up on the line. They were really expecting run. And I said, you better. And I saw Gesicki on the outside. And I said, this better be a corner alley-oop to Gesicki. It's time for us to see that. And that's what Gase called. And I thought for sure in the first instant that was going to. I know we've been talking about it. But now I'm complimenting Gase on making the right call. It was the right call. It was the right defense.
Well, maybe Gase should have practiced it instead of kicking field goals or doing a draw play in preseason when he had a chance to do it.
Yep.
So I've been trying
to forget about that.
I'm going to blame Gase on not preparing the team, okay? Mm-hmm. So now let's go back.
So made a good call, but we didn't, you know.
Yeah, well, he didn't execute. And execution is part of practice, is part of coaching. Is. So now we won the turnover battle 3-2.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't get any sacks. That's bad.
No.
Scott, interesting thing. Last night I was driving and I was listening to Jason Taylor. He's now doing play-by-play on the NFL Network.
Yeah, I heard him last season.
He sounded great.
On the radio.
Great.
I loved it.
But he made a couple of comments that I got to tell you were very interesting.
I tweeted at him and he didn't respond either, damn it.
Well, this is what Mr. Taylor had to say. He goes,
I'm interested.
They said, Jason, I'm listening to him and he's saying, Miami was not going to win a game the entire season. Then, of course,
this year.
He said, then they said, well, that was your prediction and Miami won. He said, they beat a team without a quarterback, without their tackle, without losing their tight end. They barely beat them. Miami is one of the worst teams, if not the worst team in the NFL.
He believes it.
And I went and looked at the power ranking today.
Yeah.
And ESPN, who had us dead last,
uh-huh,
moved us way up to 24.
Wow.
So we passed the stinking Jets.
I looked at the power rankings on Bleacher Report, and they didn't move us up that as far.
Well, they put
us. They kept the Jets one place ahead of us.
Well, here's what's exciting about this, and I think the Jets do belong one ahead of us based on what happened. But Buffalo, dead last.
Yeah, they're horrific.
Arizona, Cleveland. And Cleveland, I think, is mostly a result of coaching because that team is so talented, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I've heard other people say they're a sleeping giant. They just need a coach to wake them up.
Yeah, they put Indianapolis, Oakland.
Indy's terrible. I mean, they have Andrew Luck and nothing.
They put Oakland, Detroit, the Jets, and the Giants.
Chucky is the joke I said he would be.
The Giants.
He's a clown.
Which I don't particularly see that. And the Dolphins, number 24.
Yeah, I don't think the Giants are a bad team. Why do people say the Giants are a bad team?
And their comments here says,
they had a down year last year.
Frank Gore averages 6.8 yards per rush in his Dolphin debut, doubling Caden Drake's average of 3.4.
Mm-hmm.
Gore needs 15 yards in weeks two to pass the Jets' Curtis Martin.
Right.
That's going to be wonderful to see that in New York.
I'll be cheering.
Oh, you know he's going to do it.
Yep.
It's going to be in the first quarter.
No doubt.
So that's going to be exciting. So let's talk about that Jets game against Miami, Scott.
Okay.
The season we are lose, you know, we're basically, we've played them 105 times. We've lost 54. They won 50.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we talked about that in our season prediction episode.
It's good to revisit that.
And I picked the Dolphins and you picked the Jets to win.
And I am going to flip on that on this game.
Okay.
Basically, cuz I believe the rookie will make a couple of mistakes and will capitalize on it. But I believe the game's going to be really close. It's going to be 24-23 Miami.
Okay. I haven't even thought about what score it will be.
Yeah, I really believe that we can pull this off, but it's not going to be an easy cakewalk at all. Last season against the Jets.
It should be a team that we beat. I mean, even with what they did yesterday, their offense is ranked 28th overall, and their defense is ranked 24th overall. Right? They're not a good team still, even though they may have found their quarterback.
They have a quarterback of the future. They're obviously, I think.
What do you think our defense is ranked?
16.
Can you see it from where you are?
No, that we're always middle of the pack.
Okay, you nailed it.
Yeah, and I did not look at that.
Okay.
But I believe in our offense is what? Now there you're going to get me. Offense, I would say 24.
Very close, 25th.
There you go.
Yep.
Nothing has changed.
So just by, you know, what we've done so far, our ranking is you know, the total is much better than the Jets, that which just based on those statistics tell me we should beat the Jets.
I don't see
that. Yeah, that's kind of a weak argument.
You're pulling that out.
So. It seemed smarter when I was looking at the numbers and trying to, you know, justify my prediction.
No, what I believe the Jets are is a team that's, I don't think they're badly coached. I think they're, you know, Bull's good. He's doing a decent job over there. They're going to be.
He could be the best coach fired this season.
Yeah, I think he could be. And I think they're going to be fired up. They're going to give everything they can. We both really don't like each other. It's going to be a hell of a game. It's going to come down to who makes more mistakes.
Right.
I don't like the fact that we made so many mistakes
again,
in this last game.
Pre-snap penalties. Again, the whole discipline thing. I mean, Gase gets that little frown on his face, but, you know, I'm going to mention another podcast here. I've been dying to mention them. I can't get enough of The Fish Tank with O.J. McDuffie and Seth Leavitt.
Mm-hmm.
And that Nat Moore episode where Nat Moore's, you know, telling the story of his helicopter catch and, you know, around some of the other things that he's doing. You just knew that he had both great respect and fear of Don Shula. And we don't have it. I don't think the players have that.
No, of course not. So. Well, here we go with the penalties. By the way, I'm looking now at our possession. We control the ball 30 minutes and 25 seconds. They 29 minutes and 35 seconds. Again, very evenly played game. We had 7 penalties for 51 yards. What really, again, depressed me is our third down conversion, 2 out of 10.
Yeah, same old, same old, same Dolphins.
2 out of 10.
Yep, same as last year.
Total yards, we
those are the two telling signs that Gase has not improved this team.
At all.
Two very telling coaching signs.
Penalties
are the
high.
Same, and third down conversions.
And our total yards, 342 to 336. I mean, this game, we can feel good about it because we did survive.
Yep.
But we survived with a lot of breaks coming our way, including, you know, that touchdown by Henry that we both kind of shook our head on that got called back.
That was a break.
Losing their quarterback, losing their tight end,
right.
Losing their left tackle, their other tackle. It's a game that we'll take
decimated.
Yeah, we'll take a W.
Oh, I'm so happy. The team definitely needs a bit of self-confidence, and that will help with self-confidence is such an important thing to have.
Well, we're not going to beat New England making these mistakes.
Oh, hell
and
no.
With these penalties.
No.
It's not going to happen. You know, and when we have a guy like Gesicki on a little guy like that, you know, we need to execute that. And those are the things that makes a winner and a loser.
That's a dream situation. Every coach gets a boner over, right?
And by the way, yeah, I one of the things about our team that kind of shocked me a little bit is our special team had ups and downs. I mean, we seem to give up a lot of yardage on punts.
Yes, we do.
And I don't understand that. Our kick return, as we both said, Grant, is spectacular, but we're having issues there. And Sanders, you know, he was excellent. And I mean, I think he was, what, 2 for 2 on field goals?
He was perfect on field goals, but he was short on some of those kickoffs.
He was short on some of these kickoffs. And
yep. Not all of them, some of them.
And that kind of concerns me. But overall, the special teams were, you know, they won the game for us.
Well, yeah. I mean, Matt, how do we end up with these young punters that are amazing?
Yeah.
Can I give props to a punter? There's an up that we didn't mention right there. Did you see the hike? That skipped off the ground.
Mm-hmm.
It skipped off the ground. He picked it up and nailed it for 60 some yards. I'm like, oh my God. We found another great kid. You know.
Well, he had a 65-yard punt on that. He averaged 53.8 on four punts. That's incredible.
It is.
I mean, he's a hell of a punter. Again, the kid on the other side had an average.
It's weird to be excited about a punter, but we have a good punter.
No, but it's nice,
again.
It's nice to have a great punter and what appears to be a good kicker, you know, with good mm-hmm. accuracy. I mean, mm-hmm. You know, seventh round pick panning out as a kicker. That's what we all love to see.
Right.
You know, not like our friends in Tampa that had
low
a second
cost,
round
high
pick.
Quality.
Yeah. Yep. A second round pick on a kicker.
Unheard of.
Ridiculous. So, yeah. So the Jets game, what's your prediction on the game? You think we're going to win?
I did. I'm going to stay with my preseason predictions unless the team goes crazy bad or crazy good in some way.
Well, but, I have to flip just based on the fact that I think that I didn't expect the Jets to start the rookie like this. And
I didn't either.
And I believe the rookie's not.
I thought McCown would be starting.
Me too. And I think if he would have started, I would have had my doubts on Miami, even though he's not that great of a quarterback. But just, you know, Miami and New York, we just haven't been. I mean, it's kind of funny. We've been beating them in New York and losing at home, or has been going recently.
Yeah.
With that. I mean, we just seem to be. I'm going to look at the
inconsistent.
Latest. Yeah,
one of our favorite words.
It seems like we've won three.
I think we can.
Now, wait a minute.
I think we can mess with the rookie. I think we can. I don't know what happened to the pass rush last week. You know, maybe it's the rain. The footing on the field was too muddy, and they couldn't, you know, turn the corner on their pass rush. Something physical like that, or maybe it was the delays just didn't play into the physique of those two guys. Something was off. I'm still believing that we will have a great pass rush. And that we will get to this rookie. And if we get to him and we rattle him and make him feel a little bit of pain, we'll get in his head. You know, we have a good secondary. I'm very happy with our secondary right now.
No, I think.
And that all we need is a little pressure on him, and he's going to start making mistakes. He could have a David Carr type of day.
I think the Jets are going to give us a run for our money, and that's just the way it is. Mm-hmm. They're going to play us tough.
I'm worried about our offense. Even though we have all this potential explosiveness, I'm still a little worried about our offense.
Well, I mean, I think
it's been bad for too long not to be worried.
Overall, of course we are, but the offense hasn't been playing that well. But and we won because of the special teams, like we said 10 times. That's yep. really what we did. But we left the game. You know, we should always cover a little bit on the injuries. We left the game really pretty well. I mean, it looks like our long snapper John Denny. He did have a shoulder injury. He came back. They're saying it could linger. And, of course, we got Parker that who knows when he's coming back.
Yeah, at this point, I don't care. I don't know if anyone cares. Does anyone care about Parker?
Well, I do. I'm always hoping that this kid somehow turns it around.
Yeah, if somebody got in his head, if he had some life-changing
talent
moment
wise,
of epiphany that, you know, put some heart into him, put some little better luck with the injuries, you know, just something got to the kid. And
well, talent wise, he's probably our most talented receiver.
Yeah.
He's also
a physical specimen. He's tall. He can jump. He's, you know, got good hands. You know, I can remember the few times that he's in there and making some spectacular catches.
Yeah, I love him when he makes those plays. We don't like when he disappears, and it's just a tough call. Hopefully he's going to come back and be an asset to this team. I believe that with the Jets game, it's going to be you can throw the records out the window when the two teams play. It doesn't matter if it's early in the season, late in the season. It's going to be a war, and I believe we're going to pull it off, like I said, 24-23. So far the season's off to a good start, and let's hope we can keep it up. I think Miami has a great chance to go 2-0 for the first time since heaven knows when.
Yeah. That's a stat I don't have at the top of my head.
I don't have it either, but bottom line is we haven't seen Miami start off the season since the Shula days doing very well.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And now we're still, you know, let's start the season off by beating the stinking Jets. And showing that this team does have that chutzpah mm-hmm. to fight back and do what it needs to do.
If we, especially, I mean, I predicted that we were going to win game three too. But even more so now, if we beat the Jets and we keep building in confidence and we can show some improvement in discipline, then we're going to stomp on the Raiders. I think the Raiders suck. So
Raiders look terrible. And last night they looked again. I mean, I think that they don't have the talent. I think that they – you and I disagree on Chucky. I think he – Gruden is a good coach, and he had these guys playing way above their heads yesterday.
For a few minutes, and then it all fell apart.
Well, your talent at the end of the day, you're playing against a team which I predicted to go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I think the Rams are a Super Bowl team. And
I agree with you.
Yeah. So they're a hell of a team.
You know, that's listening to all these radio shows. That's the one thing we missed in our episode last week is the opportunity for each one of us to predict, you know, who's going to make the playoffs, who's going to be the wild card teams, who's making the championship game, and who's winning the Super Bowl.
Well, I was going to predict the Rams and the Steelers, but I don't even know what to think of the Steelers anymore.
Yeah, that's a big, you know, this whole thing going on with Bell is a head scratcher.
It's not only that. I mean, Big Ben looked terrible. So I don't know. I mean, that team may not be. It's a tough call. I mean, at the end of the day, New England is New England.
Mm-hmm.
The Rams are I think a cut above anyone else right now with that defense. That defense is just and Phillips did exactly what a great coordinator does. He was getting hurt. He makes some adjustments. There was a time in the second half that Oakland had like 4 yards the entire half in the second half after having almost like
Chucky came out with the plan, you know.
Which is a good plan.
Yeah, let's just keep feeding the ball to the tight end because that's the one weakness, you know, we see in their defensive formations and in the film from last year and blah blah blah.
Yeah, Phillip goes, I'll put Talib on him and let's end that problem.
He's like, okay, making an adjustment.
And that's what our Dolphins need to do this week. And I'm excited. I really like to see us go up there and clobber the Jets and come away 2-0 and really put some hope in this team. But what I'm looking for, and I was going to hear what you're looking for, Scott, for this game coming up. I'm really looking that our defense puts the pressure that we need on this young kid.
Yep.
I was just
saying that.
I really think that that's essential.
The pass rush is back this week.
And I'm expecting, and I'll come and say, I think Fitzpatrick's going to have his first interception of the year.
Would love that. That'd be so exciting.
That kid is that
he's going to get him.
He's going to get him. He's going to be getting fumble recoveries. He's one of those players.
Yep.
He's a playmaker.
Yep.
I think he's going to get his first interception of the year, and I think Gesicki will continue to disappear. I don't see I'm going to make that prediction. I don't see Gesicki growing. I see Fitzpatrick growing, doing another great play, and I think Drake is going to step it up. And we're going to see the Drake that we need to see because Drake cannot be this mediocre running back.
No.
He needs to be the exciting guy, break a 30-yarder, a 60-yarder, and pass the ball to Drake more.
Yep.
You know, 4 attempts to Drake is not enough.
Right.
It's not enough. Put him in space. You know, that's what I want to see.
And the wheel route. I want to see the wheel route. Mm-hmm. I want to see, I mean, you know, if you recognize a blitz and, you know, it's a flat run, then throw it in the flat. But don't design it to go out in the flat, right? Yeah. That's a check down. That's a blitz pickup. That's not a play that I am ever calling as a matter of course.
The
release sometimes where you sneak the running back up the middle and then he releases to one of the two outsides under, especially under a deep zone or something. Or even a man where somebody isn't, you know, capable of covering him, some slow little middle linebacker or something like that. I, you know, yes, I very much want to see it.
Yeah, I want to see some.
I want you very much to be wrong about Gesicki. I want
me too
to just give the, you know, find
me too.
Work him into the damn game plan. Get Tannehill used to throwing to him. He should be a security blanket. He should be.
You know, Scott,
there should be games where we do the same thing that Chucky did, where we recognize the strengths and weaknesses of a defense we're going to be facing and come out with a game plan to feature him.
But when we lost Gray, our starting tight end, I said, well, this is going to be Gesicki's break.
Yep.
I mean, maybe because sometimes with Gase, you need injuries to for somebody to step up and really get the limelight. Either we're
especially
all wrong
if you're
about
a
this.
Back.
Either we're all wrong, yeah, especially with running backs. But maybe we're all wrong about Gesicki. Maybe we're all dreaming about Gesicki. Maybe we're thinking we got an Ertz when we really have heaven knows what up back there. Not an elite tight end. But I just feel like we're not seeing it because a guy with two attempts, one terrible underthrown ball, the other one he caught. And I just don't see
I cannot enough. Write him off until he gets the opportunity, and he does not currently
I
want to
see him targeted 6 to 8 times every game.
Agree.
That's what I want to see. And that's what I think will open up the outside game for us.
Yes.
And it's going to open up that offense to stop being a 20% third down conversion.
It will open up running lanes.
Why are we a 20% third? Why are we 2 out of 10?
It will open up the passing game. You know, just being multifaceted forces a defense to account for all those different positions.
We'll have weapons everywhere. You have to worry about Drake catching the ball. You have to worry about our tight end. So that's what I'm hoping we're going to see. And I believe that this game, it's going to come down to us not doing any turnovers and us capitalizing on the rookie. And let's pull off the victory against these stinking Jets and start the season 2-0, Scott. That's what I'm seeing.
All right, my man.
Let's go, baby. Let's go, Dolphins.
Let's go, Dolphins. And that's a wrap for today's episode.
It's been fun, Scott. Let's have some fun next week and get together again and do what we love the most, talk about our Dolphins, baby.
Can't wait for the stinking Jets.
You got it, man. Let's kick their you know what.
All right, good night.
Good night.
Two Old Dolphins would like to thank the band Tartanic for the use of their music. That intro song we use is called Dragon Jewels, and it's on the Uncharted album. Be sure to visit tartanic.net for all of their music and some cool information.
Thank you for listening to Two Old Dolphins. Join us next week for more news, analysis, and old